So we are dealing today, listening to the climax of Jesus' reinterpretation of the law in the specific categories of, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. The two themes of this section of Jesus' teaching is the law of retaliation and the law of loving your neighbor and hating your enemy. First, some observations about the structure of this in order to facilitate interiorization and being able to tell this by heart. There are, again, two episodes, two parts of this with, composed of two periods in the section on retaliation. The first has the formula. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you. The second is then a series of examples of what this principle would mean in practice. There are three in relation to non-retaliation. Striking on the right cheek, anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, and anyone forces you to go 1 mile. The second period is about giving to those who beg and not refusing anyone who wants to borrow. So if you outline those episodes, they are easy to remember. The section of Jesus' teaching, the climax then of this section of commentary on the law, is the law in relation to loving the neighbor and hating the enemy. The first episode restates this and develops his reinterpretation, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in relation to being like God, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, who makes his sun rise and sends rain. The second commentary on this is two questions, rhetorical questions. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Again, a similar structure. Around four, if you love those, if you greet those, and do not even the tax collectors, do not even the Gentiles do the same. The climax of the entire section is then, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, a comment about this translation of the Greek word teleos, which is translated here as perfect and has traditionally been so. Teleos is related to the concept of the end. The teleos is the completion of things. Another translation would be mature, be grown up, be complete, be a full adult, as your Heavenly Father is complete, mature. The concept that underlies this word is, therefore, not as we think of perfection as being the fulfillment of an ideal, but rather the completion of a process of growth, the completion of a design or purpose, in this case, of achieving full maturity in the practice of God's will, which is the purpose of the law, is that our actions would be conformed to God's will or purpose. Now, the specifics of this in relation to Jesus' teaching here. Jesus' focus in relation to the law of retaliation is not to retaliate with violence, but rather to confront an evildoer nonviolently. The lex talionis, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, sets limits on the degree of retribution. It was progress in ancient law in regard to the practices of warfare. It was a theory of a just war, in an earlier stage of that theory. It was preliminary violence reduction theory, as Walter Wink calls it. So an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was a limit on the amount of retaliation. This is in contrast to ancient practice of retaliating for the loss of an eye by killing the opponent, or if one was insulted or injured by one warrior, to burn down the entire village, all the men, women, and children in the village. But Jesus' teaching is not to mirror evil with evil, that is, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but rather to confront the wrong without violence. So the saying, "Do not resist one who is evil," is again not a complete translation of what Jesus meant. The meaning of the verb is usually used as meaning counteractive aggression. That is, do not respond to one who is evil with counteractive aggression or with violent resistance. So a way of translating this is do not resist with violence one who is evil, but find a third way, neither passive acceptance nor violent resistance. And the examples that Jesus gives are such third way responses. Another comment about this is also in contrast to what we call pacifism. Jesus is not recommending pacifism. He does not recommend in these examples of simply accepting whatever humiliation or domination an evildoer wants to do. So these are examples of evil doing and of how to respond without violence to this evil doing. So in the first case, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, wrong, rather than hitting them back, or of hitting them even harder, as is contemporary practice in relation to a response to attacks, is to turn the other cheek, require them to strike you on the other cheek, but without subjection to them. That is, to force them into the shameful action of striking you again, and you doing that without any signs of submission. The goal of this and of its practice is to bring shame on the one who is doing this evil and to demonstrate it's wrong. It's a counsel to refuse humiliation and subjugation by forcing the other to experience the shame of what he is doing. The garment, the practice that Jesus recommends, is that if you are sued for your garments, it was required by law that in the rules in Exodus and Deuteronomy that the taking of the last piece of clothing of a poor person was forbidden. It was strictly required by Jewish law that this garment be returned at night. What Jesus is recommending is then, if a rich person is suing a poor person for their next to last garment, in court, take off your other garment and give them your other garment as well. That is, strip naked. And require then this evil suitor to experience the shame of requiring a person to have no clothes at all. That is, to break the law that was required. The stripping to give the rich as a way of settling their debt is a way of bringing shame on the suitor. It is nonviolent, highly aggressive action. The carrying of soldiers' baggage. The armies of the ancient Near East traveled by foot. One of their most hated practices was to require people in the lands that they were passing through and generally conquering to carry their 75 or 85-pound packs. Now, the Roman government, in order to limit this practice and the resentment of subject peoples, required that a soldier would only be allowed to require someone to carry their pack 1 mile. If then someone who was required to carry it 1 mile carried it 2 miles, it was a violation of Roman law. It was an extension of the logic of domination. So, okay, you require me to carry your pack 1 mile, I'll carry it 2 miles, and thereby put you in a position of having violated Roman law and of even common sense justice. So in each of these instances, Jesus is not recommending passive response, that is, simply accepting whatever actions of subjugation, humiliation that an evildoer will seek to do. But it is also not to respond with counteractive violence, but to find a third way that demonstrates nonviolently the injustice of what is being done. The word about giving to everyone who begs and refusing loans to no one was an encouragement to give alms to the poor and loans to everybody. This was a way of coping with the debt crisis for the poor that was characteristic of Galilee in Jesus' day. It is a radical solution to the problem of indebtedness. Everybody share with everyone. And apparently, the church in Jerusalem after Pentecost not only got the message, but followed Jesus' suggestion. It was a way of dealing with the most systemic problem that faced poor people. The probability is that Jesus' listeners, when they heard Jesus' responses to the situations that they faced, would have laughed or at least smiled at this new way of thinking about the reversals of logic in Jesus' teaching. Now, the climax of this section is Jesus saying about love your neighbor and hate your enemy. His reinterpretation is, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now, this is a radical redefinition of both the law of Israel and of the practices of the armies of the ancient Near East. Everyone practiced the hate of the enemy. Loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you was a radical reversal of this practice and attitude in the ancient world and in the modern world. It is the most specific example of Jesus' recommendation in relation to peacemaking, and it is a blessing of those who take these actions. One of the ways in which the story develops is that Jesus, in his actions later in the story, acts on what he taught. One could summarize Jesus' strategy with the saying, heal your enemy. And in specific stories, the Gerasene demoniac, the Canaanite woman in Matthew, the Syrophoenician woman in Mark, the deaf and dumb man, the feeding of Gentiles, Jesus does precisely what he recommends here. He does good for his enemies. The announcement in his first sermon in Luke, in his home synagogue, is that his mission will follow the pattern of Elijah and Elisha in the feeding of the widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon, and the healing of Naaman, the general of the Syrian army. In both instances, Jesus' teaching in Nazareth was the kingdom of God is good news for our enemies as well as for the people of Israel. So the principle of peacemaking that Jesus demonstrates in the aftermath of this teaching is healing your enemies, feeding your enemies, doing good for those who hate you. These are actions that refuse to be determined by the system of military and economic oppression that was characteristic of the Roman Empire. And Jesus' words about loving your neighbor and loving your enemy was an extension of the logic of God's goodness to human practice. That is, that God also does good for those who do evil as well as those who do good. So Jesus' logic is to follow the example of God, who does good to all, and whose clear desire is peace for all. The completion of the logic of the kingdom of heaven is, therefore, that to be complete, mature, full-grown adults, perfect in the sense of having attained the end or purpose of human life, is not the mentality of the warrior who becomes a hero by killing the enemy. It is rather that completeness and maturity is evidenced in loving the enemy, in finding ways of retaliation other than violence, that will in turn create the possibility of a peaceful, peaceable kingdom on the earth. This would be the accomplishment of God's will and purpose, of what God wills and purposes as a full, complete adult human being. My hope is that we can all learn from Jesus of Nazareth and take him seriously. Have fun telling this story.